Thank you for joining with us here this evening at Bethel Free Presbyterian Church in County Fermanagh. And wherever you are listening in online, we bid you welcome in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour, our Lord and Redeemer. Prayer is this night the Lord will bless you. If you're a believer in the Lord, may you be encouraged and blessed and built up in the ways of God in these days in which we live. Maybe tonight you might be cold at heart, and you know that restoring touch that comes from the Lord. Should you be listening in online this evening, still not saved, our prayer is that even tonight you'll come to saving faith and saving trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. We would encourage you to listen in to our services here online every Tuesday evening, 8 o'clock, and then every Lord's Day, every Sunday at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And the will of the Lord, I belong to bring God's word this Lord's Day, the 17th of January. Also remind our young people of the youth fellowship meeting, Zoom, on Friday night, 8 o'clock. I encourage all the young people of our congregation as well to link in via that format of Zoom on Friday evening. Now, there are just a number of prayer requests I'd like to leave with you before we commence our meeting tonight. Do remember to pray just for God's blessing upon our online broadcast at this particular time. Do you also continue to pray for the Reverend Gordon Cook, former minister here at Ellen Hospital, that he know God's touch and strength. Prayer has also been requested for Dr. Lindsay Wilson, another one of our ministers who's been ill, has been in hospital and is now home, but do continue to remember him in your prayers. And then do also pray regarding the situation regarding the coronavirus in our land. Do pray for that daily, that God's restraining hand will be upon it. Pray for healing for those that are ill with it, comfort for those that have been bereaved through it. Pray that God will give wisdom to our government in dealing with that situation. Do pray also for those in our medical services dealing with it on the front line day by day, that they too will know God's protection and help and strength at this time. Do remember our missionaries at home and abroad, and later on we'll be viewing the video presentation of the work in Perth in Western Australia where the Reverend Philip Gardner labours with his wife and family. Do remember that work very especially in your prayers, that God's hand of blessing would be upon it, that it would go forward and grow and prosper in the days that lie ahead. Again, as we mentioned last Lord's Day, if you'd like to give an offering towards that work that will go to help and support our brother and his wife and family on the mission field there in Perth, just forward that offering on to our church treasurer. Just mark on it that it is for the work in Perth and Western Australia. One other matter I'd ask you to pray about regarding the matter of abortion in our land and in our province. If you're reading the press, the local newspaper today, you will see that funding for abortion services has virtually run out, and we welcome that. And we would ask you to pray. There's now a legal challenge against our government for more funding for abortion services in our province. And we'd ask you to pray very especially for our Health Minister, Mr. Robin Swan, that he would stand firm against that. Also our government in Stormont. And just pray that God would intervene in a mighty way, and that these abortion services would come to a halt in our land and in our province at this particular time. So do remember that matter, please, in your prayers. Now, before we commence, we're just going to seek the Lord and ask the Lord for his help this evening as we bring God's word. And then as we would show the DVD presentation of the work in Perth, our prayers, the Lord will bless you as well through what you see and what you hear there online. And again, we give a special word of thanks to our media team who make all these things happen at the flick of a switch so that we can be able to broadcast in this fashion, and that you can be kept up to date even with our missionary efforts across the world. But we'll just seek the Lord in a word of prayer, please. And encourage you, wherever you are, to pray with us, join with us. Get out your Bible as well and look up the scriptures with us. And we pray that the Lord will meet with you as well in your home as you gather with us tonight around the word of God. Our gracious God and loving, eternal, heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, this evening that we can come to Thee in prayer, in and through the worthy and precious name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank Thee tonight for Him who is the great I Am, Him who is Alpha and Omega, the author and the finisher of our faith. And Father, we thank that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And Father, we thank that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And Father, we thank that Christ is alive forevermore. We thank Thee afresh, O God, for that once for all sacrifice for sin that He gave on the cross. We thank Thee for the shedding of His blood when He poured out His life unto death and cried out, "It is finished." We thank Thee, Father, for His perfect righteousness, for that life that He lived. How He was one who perfectly kept the law of God for us. And, O God, as we come into Thy presence through the name of Christ, we do confess our own sin, O God. We confess our own unworthiness, that in and of ourselves, O God, there dwelleth no good thing. And, Father, we pray for that fresh cleansing in the Saviour's blood. Create within us a clean heart. Renew, Lord, within us a right spirit. And prepare our hearts and our souls this night, O God, to meet with Thee around Thy precious word. We thank Thee for the blood of Christ tonight that cleanseth us from all sin. And Father, we ask that Thou wilt just draw very near to us now this evening. Grant a real sense of Thy presence wherever we might be. And Lord, bless Thy word to our hearts tonight. Do speak to us from Thy word, O God. And also, Lord, as we would see the video presentation regarding the work in Perth and Western Australia, we pray that our hearts will be challenged and encouraged at what Thou art doing there in that land, we pray. Again, Lord, bless, Lord, our own land and province here at this time. We pray for Thy restraining hand upon this virus, Lord. Give healing to those that are ill with it. Give comfort to those that have suffered loss through it. Give wisdom to our government in dealing with the situation. We pray for Thy protection also upon those in our medical services dealing with it day by day, that they would know help and strength and grace from the Lord, O God, we pray. And that even in this and through this, O God, that Thou wilt turn many hearts unto the Lord. Do bless our broadcast here week by week. Through them, Lord, may Thy kingdom be extended. May believers be built up on the things of God, and sinners, Lord, be converted unto Thee. Remember every aspect of the work here. We think of the Bethel Children's Crusade as well, and Sunday School and Youth Fellowship, Lord, that each aspect of it will know the blessing of the Lord. Remember the sick, we pray for the Reverend Cook and Dr. Wilson. May they know Thy strength and Thy help at this time. We pray for the sick and the elderly and the shut-ins and connected with our own congregation, that Thou, Lord, will richly bless them and minister to them. And again, Lord, we pray that Thou would intervene regarding this situation, Lord, connected with abortion services in our land. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt intervene, that Thou wilt bring these services to a halt, to an end in our land and in our province, and that no further funding would be given or granted, especially those in our government. Help them to stand strong against it. Lord, those, Lord, that would be concerned with this issue, we pray. And may there be no help and blessing and grace that comes from Thee, we pray. Bless our land tonight, O Lord. Remember whatever Thy word is faithfully preached and proclaimed, and prayer meetings such as this. Remember drive-in meetings as well. Bless every faithful servant of God. And Father, visit our land in these days in which we live in revival power and in revival grace. Answer prayer. Give help now as we read Thy word, as we preach Thy word. And Lord, pour out Thy Spirit upon us and all that is said and done this night. We pray that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be honored and glorified, in whose name we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen. Now we're going to turn tonight, please, in God's Word to the Gospel of John. John chapter number 20, the 20th chapter of John's Gospel. And we're going to read this evening from the verse number 19 of the chapter, just a few verses, going down to the end of the verse number 23. Let us hear the word of the Lord as we read it together this evening. John chapter 20 and the verse number 19. It says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. When he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 23. And our prayer is that God will bless this reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. Now, the words I want you just to think about this evening and want us to consider together are those final words of verse number 21 of John's Gospel, chapter 20, where Christ here is speaking. And he says, "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." Now, in this world, it is the great privilege and also responsibility of every Christian to be an ambassador for Christ. Paul the Apostle could say in the book of Corinthians, he could say, we are ambassadors for Christ. And Christ himself reminds us of this same great work and responsibility in these final words of verse 21 here of John chapter 20, where he says, "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." In these verses here, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to his disciples after his resurrection. And he tells them, just as the Father had sent him into this world, so he also was sending them into this world as his ambassadors. And as it was with the disciples in the time of our Lord, so it is to be the same with you and I who are saved. Child of God, the Lord says to you and I tonight through these very words, he says, "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." Now, if you and I are to be faithful ambassadors for Christ, then I believe it's important that we understand what it meant for Christ himself to be an ambassador for God in this world. And there are a number of thoughts I want to leave with you regarding this matter. First of all, we can say that as an ambassador for God the Father, Christ did not belong to this world. In John chapter 8 and in the verse number 23, he could say there, "I am not of this world." Christ did not belong to this world. Heaven was his home. In John chapter 14, verse 2, he speaks of heaven there, and he describes it as my Father's house. He could say, "The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." And Christ was one who lived loose to this world. He did not belong to this world. He knew that this world was not his home. You think about that. Then you think about what he says here to his people at the end of verse 21 when he says, "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And child of God, as an ambassador for Christ, you and I must ever realize that this world also is not our home. Heaven is our home. The Bible says in Philippians 3, verse 20, that our conversation is in heaven. And that word conversation literally means our citizenship. You and I belong to heaven. Therefore, if you and I are to be good ambassadors for Christ, it's important that we too live loose to this world. The Bible says to the Christian, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." In 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 4, Paul is instructing Timothy, a young Christian, and he says this, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." And there he encouraged Timothy, a young Christian, a young servant of God, to live loose to the things of this world. Indeed, it was Matthew Henry who said, "This world is our passage, not our portion." Believer, always remember that in this world, you and I are pilgrims. We are sojourners. We are just passing through. But then in the second place, we can also say that as an ambassador for God the Father, Christ was sent in love to this world. You think of those words that you read in John chapter 3 verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In love, Christ was sent into this world to rescue and to save perishing sinners. Likewise, in love, dear believer, you and I are sent into this world to proclaim the gospel and to see people saved from the ruin of their sin. Christ says, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. The Bible says to you and I who are saved, it says, go ye and preach the gospel to every creature. And as we seek to spread the gospel, we are to do so with love in our hearts toward the lost. Paul the Apostle could say, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Indeed, it has been said that faith makes things possible, but love makes things easy. And believer, as you seek to spread the gospel and sow the gospel seed in this needy world, pray that God would fill your heart with his love. Charles Wesley prayed these words. He said, enlarge and flame and fill my heart with boundless charity divine. Child of God, make that your prayer as well as an ambassador for Christ. But then in the third place, we can also say that as an ambassador for God the Father, Christ was one who revealed the character of God to this world. In John chapter 14 and in the verse number 9, he says, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And in this world, he revealed God the Father. How did he do that? He did that because he himself was perfect as the Son of God. He was God manifest in the flesh. He himself was without sin, like God the Father. The Bible says in Hebrews 7, verse 26, that he was wholly harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And in our text here this evening, he says, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And child of God, if you and I are to be good ambassadors for Christ in this world, then we must live holy lives. Lives that are separate from sin. This applies to our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22, it says there to the Christian, abstain from all appearance of evil. In days gone by, there was a man by the name of Robert Ingersoll. He was an ungodly man. And on one occasion, he wrote a book attacking the Bible. And he said he was encouraged to do this because of the inconsistent lives of many professing Christians. Child of God, always remember this. Yes, the world may not read the Bible, but they will read your life. They will read my life. Therefore, it's important that we obey and live out the words of Romans 12, verse 9, where it says, abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. And the Lord says to you and I who are saved, he says, be ye holy, for I am holy. But then we can say also in the fourth place that as an ambassador for God the Father, that Christ was one who declared the word of God. In John chapter 17 and the verse number 8, he says these words as he speaks to his heavenly Father in prayer. He says, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And Christ was ever proclaiming the word of God during his time here on earth. You think about that and then think of what he says in this verse 21 of John 20 when he says to his people, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And child of God, being an ambassador for Christ means you and I doing all we can to support the spread of God's word. The Bible says, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, when it's not popular with the crowd and with the world. We must go on proclaiming the word of God. We must go on spreading the word of God. Yes, we are to be like the believers in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, of whom it was said, "For from you sounded out the word of God." And dear child of God, the best and indeed the most accurate English translation of the scriptures that you can circulate is the King James Authorized Version of the Bible. Christian, as you live in this world as an ambassador for Christ, do all you can to support the spreading and the proclamation of the Word of God. But then we can say further this evening, as an ambassador for God the Father, Christ was one who laid down his life as a sacrifice for sinners. You think of what he says in John chapter 10, verse 11. He says there, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And it is by the sacrifice that sinners are saved from their sin and made ready for heaven. Let me say this evening that if you are still unsaved, then as a repentant sinner, you must come by faith to Christ. Christ who died on the cross for our sins. Christ who is risen again. You must come to Him by faith and trust in Him. Call upon Him in faith to save you and to be your Savior. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Yes, you must trust in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ alone for salvation. That is the way to be saved. But also, whenever we think here of the sacrifice of Christ and laying down His life, in that very fact, there is an example for us who are saved to follow. And that example is that in our Christian life, as ambassadors for God, we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice unto God to serve Him day by day in our life. You think of those words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12 and the verse number 1. When he says there, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." This is how you and I are to live as ambassadors for Christ in this world. Believer, this means you and I obeying the Lord's will for our lives. It means you and I doing what God wants us to do. It means you and I going where God wants us to go. It means you and I obeying the call of God to serve Him in our lives. You think of the words of the hymn writer. The hymn writer said, "Only one life to give. I could never withhold it from God. Only one life to live. I must not miss the well done of God." And if you and I are to be good ambassadors for Christ, then we must not miss the well done of God. Christ says, "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." But then in the final place, we can say this evening that as an ambassador for God the Father, Christ was one who was filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen to His testimony in Luke chapter 4 and the verse number 18. He says there, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Verse 34 of John chapter 3 speaks of Christ, and this is what it says. It says, "For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." He knew the fullness of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit upon his earthly life and ministry. Child of God, learn from this. Yes, this is the secret to you and I being good ambassadors for Christ in this world. And daily as God's people, we must pray and ask God to fill us with His Holy Spirit. This is vital for you and I to be good ambassadors for Christ in our home, in our workplaces, in our communities, in our church, in our service for God, wherever that is. Turning your Bible back to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 11. And Luke, please, with me at the verse number 13 of that chapter. Look at what it says. Luke chapter 11, verse 13, it says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" And Christian, this is something you and I are to pray for in our lives day by day. Pray and ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit, so that you in your life, wherever that is, might be a good ambassador for Christ. Yes, if we are to know the infilling of the Spirit of God, we must pray and seek God for that blessing and seek to live day by His grace, a life that redounds to His honor and to His glory. One particular occasion in a bygone day, there were two certain gentlemen, and they were viewing the Niagara Falls, that great sight there in Canada. And as the water rushed over those falls down below, one said to his friend, he said, the flow of that water over those falls is the greatest unused power in this world. And his friend replied to him, he says, not so. Then he went on and he said, the greatest unused power in the world is the Holy Spirit of the living God. You'll notice the emphasis that Christ placed upon the Holy Ghost in the life of the Christian in verse 22 there as he speaks to His disciples as He sends them forth. It says in verse 22 of John chapter 20, "And when He had said this, He breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Read through the book of the Acts of the Apostles, and you'll see how they were blessed and used of God. Why? Because they knew the infilling of God, the Holy Spirit, in their hearts and in their lives, day by day. In this little verse here this evening, Christ says, "As my Father have sent me, even so send I you." Dear Christian, by the power, by the infilling of God, the Holy Spirit, yes, you and I can be faithful ambassadors for Christ in this needy world. May this be so in all our lives, for Christ's sake and glory. Amen. We're just going to unite together in a short word of prayer before then the video presentation of the work in Perth is shown to you in your home online this evening. And after that, we'll conclude again with a short word of prayer and just leave a few prayer requests with you before we part in this meeting and in this service tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word to our hearts and for this word from the Lord. As the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. We thank Thee, O God, for the great privilege of being an ambassador for Christ. We realize, O God, this is a solemn responsibility for every one of us who are saved. Lord, we pray for grace. We pray for the infilling of God the Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our lives, that day by day as your people who are saved, wherever we might be, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our communities, by Thy power and by Thy grace, that we'd be a bright and a shining witness, a good ambassador for Jesus Christ our Lord. Here in heaven, Thy dwelling place, and answer prayer. Bless us now as we view the video of the work in Perth and Western Australia. May hearts be blessed and encouraged in what Thou art doing there in that land. For we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen.
We've been here in Perth now for around 7 years, and it's hard for me to take that in. And prior to coming to Perth, I laboured in the congregation in Carrickfergus in County Antrim. I was there for 7 years, and it's hard for me to take in that we've been here in Perth for the same amount of time than what we were in Carrick. I almost feel that we're only beginning here in Perth, and the Lord has much to do in this place. But we are thankful that the Lord has sustained us during these 7 years. When we first came, Anna entered into year one in primary school, according to the Australian calculation of year one, and she's now finished her first year of high school. Keris is still in primary school, and we're thankful for how the Lord has blessed us in our family. Now, looking back in the 7 years, there certainly have been difficulties and challenges. One of the greatest challenges personally was my own health. After about a year we were here, I suffered a decline in my health, which took me a considerable amount of time to recover from. But the Lord has certainly given much grace, and I have made a huge progress. I'm able to carry on a full week's schedule, whereas before I was spending a lot of time in bed, a lot of time in pain. But the Lord has been very gracious, and I've known great improvement in my health. My health is in no way a hindrance to me in being able to continue the work of the Lord here. Like any work placed within a city, there are challenges. Perth has a population of about 2 million. And when I first arrived, I struggled for the first months with the sense of the vastness. Of course, many people here talk of Perth being a very small city, but coming from the background that I did, it seemed a huge place. And to me, a great challenge in my mind was, where do you even begin to make an influence on people? When we were living in Northern Ireland, anywhere you would go for a day out, you know someone, you bump into people in various places. But when we arrived in Perth, we would go for a day out and bump into a lot of people, but we wouldn't know a single soul. And I felt the isolatedness of that almost, despite the fact there were lots of people, there was a loneliness. And this issue of how can we even start to do a work for the Lord in this place. And of course, that challenge still remains. But the Lord has given us contacts with people over these years, and we've been able to form friendships with people. And of course, that is vital in order to see the work of God grow and to be able to have opportunities to witness for the Lord's name. It always amazes me, in a place like Australia, so full of secularism, a country that is so atheistic, that the cults and false religions seem to thrive. Everywhere you go, you seem to come across an idea of falsehood that, well, I'd never come across before in Northern Ireland. And so it's interesting that in such an atheistic background that there are so many false notions, false religions. And if the devil is able to deceive people, how much more confidence we have that the Lord is able to open the eyes of blinded sinners. We have every confidence that in this city that the Lord is able to do a mighty work for the Lord's name. And so our congregation is in the northern suburbs of the city. One of the challenges that we have being a city work is that people tend to come here for work, and maybe when that work has finished they move on. And we have had people in the congregation from time to time, and they have been settled, and then their work situation takes them away. And this is one of the challenges that we face, and we long that the Lord will give us a steady congregation, that there will be a core group who will be able to remain while others will have to come and go. In the Lord's Day services, we normally have between 30 and 40 coming to the morning meeting, sometimes more than that. And we have a group of people that are very faithful in their attendance, that never miss. And we have people that, like all our congregations have and need, people that are very faithful, people that we can rely upon. And we're very thankful to the Lord for those that stick by the work and have so faithfully encouraged us in the work of the Lord. Like any church, it goes through its ups and downs, but the Lord has always given us encouragements by the way. And we're thankful that back in February that our brother Bevis Muller was ordained and installed as a ruling elder in the congregation. That has been a great encouragement to us. We're thankful that the Lord has brought men into the congregation. This is something that we have continually asked the Lord's people in the United Kingdom to pray for. And we ask you to continue to pray, of course, that the Lord will bring other men and women, but men in particular, to come into the congregation, men that will be full of the Holy Ghost, men who are called of God to various positions of leadership within the congregation.
The Bible says in Psalm 67, God be merciful unto us and bless us,
and cause his face
to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving now among all nations.
And we do have small Sunday school. That Sunday school is at the moment going through a little bit of change. We've changed the time to after the Lord's Day service, and we've been able to add an additional class. So we have a junior class and then a senior class, and while those are taking place, then we have a class for adults as well, which we're planning will be doctrinal as well as practical, sometimes bringing matters of church history, as we hope that we can use that opportunity with the adults to bring in things that we normally wouldn't have in a Lord's Day message. On a Friday night, we have a Bible club with the children. Jared and I conduct that Bible club together, usually taking a week about with the message. And we usually have between 12 and 16 children coming to that Bible club. That has been growth for us. When we started this, it was very small, sometimes around four attending, and so over the years we're thankful that we have seen some more come in. Most of those children come from the congregation or some contact with the congregation, or come from a neighbouring congregation. One of the challenges really in children's work here on a weeknight is getting people to actually send their children, or even see the need to send their children. Sometimes we've been talking to Christians and invited them to bring their children on a Friday evening, and they will say, do not do something like that on a Sunday, and they see no need for something additional on a weeknight evening. In the winter holidays, which here are in July, we have a Bible club for the boys and girls, a holiday Bible club. And we usually do get more children attending that for the days that we have that Bible club. And we always pray that out of the additional number that come, that we'll see some of them come into the weekly meeting. Even at that time, when we have the holiday Bible club and we see a few more coming in, we find that very few, if any of those, are from the neighbourhood. So most of them come from homes where there is some Christian influence. Whereas we find it exceptionally difficult to get people from the neighbourhood to send their children in. Very often they will be thinking, why would we send our children there? We have no interest in that. On the other hand, sometimes it would be pure animosity, that they would be very unwilling because they object to church altogether, never mind seeking to bring the gospel to children. We do have a youth meeting as well later on a Friday evening, and usually there are around eight young teenagers that attend that meeting. And so we used to have an older group, but most of those have passed on now. So at the moment there are young teenagers, or some that are almost teenagers, coming on a Friday night. And again, most of those have a connection in some way to the congregation. But we do ask you to pray for these young people, that the Lord will truly work in their hearts. It's not an easy thing to be a young Christian anywhere, but I think there's a particular difficulty in being a Christian in Australia. Some of these young people are very lonely at school. and they have very little encouragement at school, and there's very much there to discourage them. And so I do ask you to take these young people upon their heart. There would be a true work of grace done in their hearts, and they would be young Daniels being willing to stand for the Lord as lights in a dark place.
In Genesis, he is the creator and the seed of the woman.
In Exodus, he is the Passover lamb.
In Leviticus, he is the great high priest.
In Numbers, he is the pillar of cloud and fire.
In Deuteronomy, he is the prophet like Moses.
In Joshua, he is our deliverer.
In Judges, he is the judge and lawgiver.
In Ruth, he is the kinsman redeemer.
At most Saturday mornings, some of us go down to the city centre to conduct an outreach there. We have been doing this from almost the time that I arrived here in the city. And that work has had its challenges in relation to the local council there. They've put various restrictions on us. So for a time, we were allowed to preach. For a time, we also had a book table, a literature table, which was very effective. But the council have restricted both of those, certainly on a weekly basis. So we were not allowed to have those. But we have been able to continue the distribution of gospel literature. And we're thankful that that door at least has remained open. We do try also to engage people in conversation. And we use something called the good person test. And so when we get the opportunity, we ask people, do you think you are a good person? And most people will reply in the affirmative. And we seek to show them then that when we examine ourselves against the law of God, against the Ten Commandments, that we are far from good. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And we have had some encouraging conversations using that method. And again, we would ask you to pray that the Lord will give us opportunities to witness on the streets here in the city.
Over the past few years, I've had the opportunity to conduct a Bible study close to the centre of the city in a public housing unit. One of the ladies from our congregation lives in this particular complex, and she very kindly opened up her home for that Bible study. We were able to invite some of her neighbours to come, and it grew a little, and in time we were able to use the community room attached with that particular complex. Back when I was coming to Australia, I was asked the question, will you be trying to reach the poor people in Australia? And in this particular place gives us the opportunity to reach people that are needy. There are a lot of people living in that complex that are alcoholics or recovering alcoholics. There are drug addicts there, a whole raft really of difficulties that people have faced, and some of those that have attended don't have English as their first language, and that has presented an opportunity as well as a challenge. One of those ladies has received a lot of help with English from this lady from our congregation. Bearing in mind that the English is an issue, I try to keep the message as simple linguistically as possible, and hopefully those that are hearing with understanding the message that is being presented there.
So, what is repentance? Repentance is a turning around. So, at the end of 2019, our brother, the Reverend Ralph Hall, and myself had the privilege of visiting the Philippines to connect with some Reformed pastors in the Philippines. And that was certainly a great privilege for both Ralph and myself. The mission board back in Northern Ireland invited us to go and to seek to establish a link with these believers there. And we're very thankful for the opportunity that the mission board gave to us at that particular time. We do have contact with one brother by the name of Pastor Dennis. Pastor Dennis does have a great interest in the Free Church, and we do want to continue that relationship and association with him and encourage him in the work that he is engaged in. And the Reverend Ralph Hall, back when he was in deputation in Northern Ireland, raised the issue of how we hope to send some electronic devices with electronic books to the Philippines, and our brother Reverend Ralph Hall really has overseen that, and we're thankful for all the money that has been raised towards that in Australia from the Mission Board and some of the churches and individuals in Northern Ireland. We certainly appreciate the generosity of the Lord's people, and those devices have now been sent to the Philippines. And pray that the Lord will bless the materials that are on those devices to help those pastors in the preparation and in the preaching of the Word of the Lord. Some of the pastors that attended those meetings were not necessarily themselves Reformed, though they obviously were invited by other Reformed pastors to come. And so even we can pray that these other men will be increased in their understanding of the Scriptures of truth. If I could leave one final request, and that really is that the work of the Lord here would go forward. When people think about Australia, I think the first thing that comes to their mind is the kangaroo. The kangaroo doesn't move backwards. If it wants to go to somewhere that is behind it, it has to turn in its tail in order to move around. So the kangaroo is associated with moving forward. And the works here, it's our desire that they would not just stay stagnant. It's certainly our desire that they would not go backwards, but that they would go forward. And that even I in the ministry, that I would go forward. And I would ask you to pray to that end, that the Lord might undertake for me and the other ministers here in Australia, that we would press toward the mark, and the works here would continue to press forward in the Lord's name and see ground taken for our Lord. The vast majority of the population do live within the city itself, and yet I do feel a challenge concerning the needs of the smaller towns, which of course are a huge distance sometimes from the city. But some of these smaller towns have absolutely no faithful evangelical witness of any shade. And we certainly ask you to pray that the Lord would give openings to this congregation. So we long to see this congregation further established and consolidated. And yet we must not lose the missionary vision for the city at large and for the state.
Isaiah chapter 43 and the verse 19, it says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." And we certainly need a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God upon the work here in Australia. We claim this promise. We pray over it that the Lord will do a new thing here, that there will be rivers in the spiritual desert.
Well, we do thank our media team for showing you that DVD, or that presentation, video presentation of the work there in Perth. And it's good to see what the Lord is doing there and how the Lord has strengthened that work and advanced it, even under the ministry there of the Reverend Gardner. We encourage you to pray for him, pray for his wife, his children, and we pray for the work just to go forward, that new ground will be taken. Remember the children's work, the youth fellowship, the outreach work. And then again, those contacts were made over in the Philippines as well, that those contacts will be further strengthened, and that even through those contacts, others will be reached with the gospel, and the cause of Christ would be advanced there. Thank you for joining with us tonight. We're just going to unite together in a word of prayer, and just to pray very especially for the work in Perth there in Western Australia. And we trust you'll be able to join with us again on the Lord's Day morning, 12 noon, Lord's Day evening at 7 o'clock as we gather here in Bethel around the Word of God. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy presence with us here this evening. And Father, we thank Thee especially, Lord, for what our eyes have seen and our ears have heard of Thy work in the city of Perth there in Western Australia. We thank Thee for calling the Reverend Gardner to that city. And Father, we pray that Thou will bless him and his wife Cherith and their children. Do keep them in good health and good strength, we pray. We pray, Lord, that Thou will watch over them and bless them and protect them, Lord, and they're going out and then they're coming in. And help them, Lord, just to make good contacts there, we pray, day by day. May they be led to souls. We think of how Thou didst lead Philip to the Ethiopian eunuch in the desert. And we pray that Thou would lead our brother Philip, the Reverend Gardner, to many souls, even there in that city of Perth, and also to villages and towns outside the city as well, and that their two doors might be opened up for the preaching of the gospel. I do remember the Sunday school. We pray for your blessing to be upon it. Bless these boys and girls. May they know and come to know and trust the Lord as Savior early in life. May they be taught in the ways of God. We pray for the youth fellowship meetings as well. Strengthen them. Bring in more young people to them. And even through these meetings, may other families be reached and brought into the congregation. Do strengthen the congregation. Strengthen the believers there spiritually. Strengthen the congregation numerically, we pray. And meet its every practical need, we pray. Again, Lord, remember the outreach as well in the street. Bless the street work, the conversations, the tracts, the literature that would be given out. We pray that even through this, many will be reached and many will be saved and converted and spoken to through the word of the Lord. Do bless even those contacts in the Philippines that have been made with our brother Gardner and the Reverend Hall. Strengthen those ties. Again, Lord, we think of the other churches in Australia. Remember the Reverend Graham in Port Lincoln. And bless the work there. And remember also the halls in Tasmania. May Thy hand of blessing be upon them there, we pray. And Father, we pray that even in that vast land of Australia, a vast continent, that many other doors as well would be opened up for the preaching of the gospel. And Thou would send forth all our laborers into that mission field. Do accept our thanks now for Thy presence with us tonight around the Word of God, and just bless us each one wherever we might be in our different homes. Lead us and guide us in the ways of the Lord in these days. Keep Thy protecting hand upon us and watch over us, O God, we pray, each one, until we meet again around the Word of the Lord. For we ask all these things in our Savior's precious and wonderful name. Amen. Thank you.